Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the epistle reading from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, in which Paul outlines two opposing ways of life, the way of futility and the way of love. Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. By the fourth chapter of his epistle to the Ephesians, Paul has already clearly stated the gospel many times. Some of our favorite gospel summaries come to us from the early chapters of Ephesians. You're good Lutheran, so most likely you've memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 more than once. Perhaps in confirmation, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is God's grace that saves you. What good news! Grace alone. And it comes through faith, faith alone, not by your works. The scripture does not teach works righteousness, but rather that the righteousness of God in Christ becomes yours through faith. The righteous also live by faith, by trusting in the word and the promise of God delivered to us this day in the Holy Scriptures and in the sacraments. And this is our life and our salvation. So by the time we get to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul assumes that you have read and understood the gospel. He assumes that you know that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. And so here he turns to admonition. He admonishes, he encourages you and me to live a new life, a new way of life. And I think we can summarize this in Paul's words in this way: not futility, but love. First, Paul says, not futility. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, he writes this: "You, yes, you, must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. For they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. And they've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." The way of the world, the way of the Gentiles, it is filled with idolatry, and it is futility which leads to pain, suffering, and finally, destruction. That was true in Paul's day, and it is true today as well. If you think about it, all that our world pursues and celebrates, and all that we are taught in our culture to run after, to give ourselves to, all of it is futility, empty, meaningless. And yet somehow worldly success and popularity and money and power and sensual pleasures and selfish ambition are everywhere lifted up. They are without a doubt our culture's idols, our society's gods. Now, Paul knows something else. He knows that even for us Christians, there is a temptation. Even though we have received the true treasures of forgiveness, life, and salvation by grace through faith, yet even for us, these idols remain a temptation. You are tempted by them, and so am I, and so are our children and our families. We are all still tempted to bow down and worship the idols of our culture. But if we remember these words from Paul, we remember that this way of thinking and living is futility, empty, meaningless, and leading to pain, suffering, and ultimately destruction. How did this play itself out in Ephesians? Well, in Ephesus, Paul came there and he found a great number of people living a futile way of life. You can read about it in Acts chapter 19. It's quite a story. There's a riot that erupts in Ephesus. Because Paul has proclaimed the simple truth that false gods, you know those ones made by human hands, they are not actually gods at all. Huh. Now the biggest concern in all of this was that the trade of the silversmiths, the people who made money from forging those idols, might falter. They might not make enough money. And also, the reputation of Ephesus, this great city, the reputation of Ephesus as a center of worship for Artemis might be diminished. Because of this, the city is stirred up and erupts into a riot. A riot incited by idolatry, the idols of money and power, popularity, selfish ambition, and greed. What do they produce? A riot. That riotous rage of the Ephesians is not so different either from the rage of Jezebel. Jezebel, who upon finding that Elijah has proclaimed the truth and defeated the prophets of Baal, she swears to murder him. In her rage against Elijah, she turns against him, God's prophet, and against the very truth of God. In our day, there are different kinds of idols, maybe, though, not so different. How about misplaced faith in human progress? How about foolish trust in economic success, or environmentalism, or sexual liberation, abortion, Marxist wokeism? All these things do what? Incite our culture into violent rioting and rebellion against Christ and his gospel. And worse still, all the devices that we gladly stare at, whether it's the big screen TVs in our own living rooms, or the social media connected smartphones in our pockets right now, there the devil and the world have a pulpit. And there, good is denounced and evil is loudly and proudly extolled. Perhaps you remember we heard about this during the opening ceremonies of this year's Olympics. And Paul says, all of this is futility. This futile way of thinking and living leads where? Pain, sorrow, suffering. Destruction. Brothers and sisters, we do not need to mince words about this. We do not need to apologize for it or minimize the absolute claim of the living God on truth, beauty, and goodness. For Jesus himself is the truth. No, we need simply to stand firm and to proclaim loudly and boldly this truth. Yes, the wicked will complain that you are narrow-minded. They will accuse you of intolerance. They will say that you are ignorant and too religious. But you need to stand firm. With God's help, stand firm in this one true faith, because you know, as Paul knew and teaches us, that to do otherwise is futility. Not just Paul, but Christ our Lord also says it in the gospel. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And the inverse is also true. Whoever rejects Christ, the bread of life, will forever hunger and thirst, because they feed on futile things that will never, ever satisfy. And so you, dear brothers and sisters, must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. But instead, Paul writes, that you should be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Not futility, but love. Here, Paul points us back to the love of Christ for us. He points us back to that gospel that he proclaimed in the opening chapters of this epistle, which is our life, our hope, and our future. And he teaches us to meditate. To meditate on the loving sacrifice of God in Christ and his cross. And also to imitate it in our lives as dear children of God. And what a difference there is between that futile way of life that the world lives and the life of a child of God. The life of futility is always striving and grasping and fighting, always seeking to serve itself and gain more and more power and pleasure and possessions. But the life of a child of God is already complete. As God's children, you are at peace because you have all things. You have hope and you have a future. You have life and salvation. And you have gained this not by striving after it or fighting for it. You have gained it by faith in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It is, in fact, Christ who has gained it for you. No striving, no grasping, no fighting required. And eternal joy awaits you. And on this day, as we gather and worship, our Lord Christ delivers this joy to us, to you. He feeds you the true bread from heaven, and he grants to you forgiveness, life, and salvation in word and sacrament. In this way, you are like Elijah. The journey of life in this broken and corrupt world is too much for us. The enemies of God and his people fight against you every day. You are weak, but our Lord is strong and powerful over all things. And he brings you here to feed you and to give you life and to encourage you for the road that lies ahead. And the road that lies ahead is a road of imitation. Be imitators of God, Paul says. Live a life of love and sacrifice, which brings honor and glory to the one who gave his life for you. Imitate God. Live a life of love and sacrifice for your family. Imitate God. Live a life of love and sacrifice in your workplace and for your community. Imitate God. Live a life of love and sacrifice even toward your enemies. For they are as you once were apart from Christ. And the futile way of life extolled by this world, you know, leads to destruction. So we do not celebrate this. We mourn it. And we pray. Really, we pray. Lord, have mercy on this fallen world. Lord, have mercy on those who are lost in darkness and painful despair. Lord, have mercy on those who are far away from the family of God. And draw them to yourself. Lord, if it is in your mind, use us, your people, to lay down our lives in loving sacrifice for the sake of others. Help us, O Lord, to imitate you. For you laid down your life for us while we were yet sinners, yet your enemies. So also enable us to lay down our lives for our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, and whomever else you put into our lives, that they might know the truth and have life and salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now this peace of God, which surpasses understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in this one true faith in Christ Jesus.